This morning we're in Ephesians and we're in the sixth chapter and we're kind of finishing up our study of the armor of God. So let's look at Ephesians 6 and I'm going to read verses 10 through 18. We'll get all the way through that and then we'll come back after some prayer and get started. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Let's pray. God, we thank you this morning that we have your word. We thank you that we can read it. We praise you that the Holy Spirit is in us, that we can understand the words that you have written, because the Holy Spirit is the author of these words, and so he can show us. I pray that as we study this morning, as we leave, we will go away saying, praise God, for he is almighty. There is no one greater than our God. I pray that you'd be with us this morning and hear us as we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we spent the last few weeks talking about the armor of God. And that armor has been given to us by God. You know, while preparing for today's lesson, I was reminded of David. And if you go into 1 Samuel 17, verses 38 and 40, I'll let you go and do that. It's a great story because it's the story of Goliath. But in that story, Saul comes to David and he brings his armor to him. And it tells us in chapter 17, verse 38, it says, then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped on his sword over his armor. And he tried in vain to go, but he had not tested them. And then David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. So David put them off. And what struck me is that Saul brings his armor. Now, if you remember the story, I want you to get the comedy of this. Saul was a head taller than everybody else in Israel. So Saul was a big, tall guy. And David, it says, was ruddy and handsome, but doesn't tell us anything about his height. So I always imagine he's a little bit shorter. So you can imagine Saul puts on his helmet. Now the helmet's all wobbly because Saul had a big head. And then he puts on his coat of mail. And the mail probably goes not to here, but maybe down to his ankle, you know. And he puts the belt on, he puts the sword on, and he goes to pull it out. And David's like a child all dressed to go out in the snow. You ever put your kid getting ready to dress for the snow and they're like this? They can't move. Well, I kind of imagine David the same way. And he says, I haven't tried any of this stuff. I don't know how it works. I can't use it because it's really not valuable to me. There's nothing wrong with it. I just don't know how to use it. And it struck me that he couldn't use the armor of Saul because he hadn't tested it or used it. And you know, the armor of God is going to be the exact same for us if we don't test it and use it. The more we use the armor of God, the more we're able to use the armor of God, the better we'll be able to fight against evil. And the armor is not our own. This is the armor of God. Now, if David had had a long time to try out Saul's armor, he might have been able to work with it. But the reality is, the armor that he had was not his own. We need to remember, the armor that we put on is not our armor. It's the armor of God, the armor that he's given us to use. And since God is the source of the armor, we need to understand he's also the source of the power behind that armor. That power doesn't come just because you pick up the shield or because we pick up the sword. The power that comes from the armor comes from God. And so we need to stay in contact with the source of that power. And that brings us in Paul's verse today in verse 18 to the concept of prayer. This is where prayer comes in. Prayer is our connection with God. In James 5:16, God tells us that the prayer of a righteous man has great power. That power is the Holy Spirit who guides us, who leads us, who helps us along the way. And it allows the armor that God gives us to be effective. It's the Holy Spirit who comes in. That prayer keeps us connected. And here in verse 18, Paul tells us to pray at all times. He says, praying at all times in the Spirit. And elsewhere in his letter to the Thessalonians, Paul tells us to pray without ceasing. Now, these seem like they're similar, but they're really two different ideas. So I want to look at those two ideas, the difference between praying without ceasing and praying at all times. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul tells us to pray without ceasing. And in that case, he's telling us to pray continuously. And you may say to yourself, well, how do I do that? How do I pray continuously? I remember I was told once, if you wanted to know how to learn to pray without ceasing, go talk to a mother of a soldier who's in battle. You will learn how to pray continuously, because that's what mothers do, right? And so you look at that and you go, well, what does that really mean? Does it mean I got to be on my knees with my eyes closed all the time? Well, of course not, although that might be how you spend some of your time in prayer to God. But that's not what God's talking about. That's not what Paul is telling us. But it does mean that we need to spend all of our available time talking with God. Think about it. Not a part of your day would go by without you sharing with God about what you're doing or what you're thinking or what's going on. Think about it as you being with your very best friend. You go out with your best friend, you spend the whole day. You talk all day long, don't you? About everything. You talk about the weather. You talk about the weekend that's coming up. You talk about the weird hat the guy in front of you is wearing, you know, and you poke each other and you say something, you know. But you're talking all the time. And that's the idea of being with God. If God is truly our best friend and the one whom we want to spend all our time with, then spending the whole day talking with him seems totally natural, doesn't it? We need to be with him all the time. And that's something that we need to deal with. And there's never such a thing as an awkward silence when you're with your friend. There's just a time when you don't happen to be talking for a few minutes. But then something else comes up, something comes to mind, and instantly you're talking again. I always laugh because Julianne's best friend lives in Wichita, Kansas now. And they don't talk every day. But boy, I tell you, they pick up the phone and talk to each other, and it's as if they haven't stopped seeing each other for a moment. They're right back into the conversation, wherever they are. And it's as if they were never apart. And that's the way our relationship with God really needs to be. Our time of prayer, that pray without ceasing, is the idea of just always being with Him and talking with Him. And it isn't the idea of I pray when I get home at night, or I pray at this time, or I pray at that time. Now here in Ephesians 6, Paul is telling us to pray at all times. And it sounds like the same thing as in Thessalonians, but it's really not. It's a different idea. Paul is telling us to pray on all occasions that require prayer. The idea here is to be intentional about our prayer. In Philippians 4:6, Paul says not to be anxious, but in everything be in prayer and supplication to make our requests known to God. We're going to God with each event or request as they come into our life. And this is different than you're just walking down the street with your friend chatting. But as you're walking down the street with your friend chatting and something comes up, you go, oh, I got to tell you about John because this happened. Now I need to stop and be in prayer. Now this is something more intentional, something specific. And God wants us to do that. And when we hear about something that needs prayer, like a family member who's sick, or you get good news that needs to be shared, you present those in prayer to God. And truly, if we're praying continuously without ceasing, it's so much easier to also be intentional about the things that need prayer, the things that come up. Why? Because we're already with God talking, so we can just say, oh, by the way, God, I just thought of this that needs prayer. And this is why these two ideas fit together so well. And the outcome is that throughout the day, we are regarding every situation and every event that we want to be in prayer with God. And this should be our regular habit. This should not be something that we think about once in a while. It should be the way that we live our life. We should simply want to speak with our best friend all the time. Then there's that time of that special prayer, that time that you need to really sit down with God. You ever come home at night and your spouse looks at you and goes, can we talk for a minute? Yikes! I don't know, is this a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know whether it's good or bad, but you know what? It's important. It's serious, because they looked at you with that serious look and said, we need to talk, right? So what does that mean? That means you need to put everything else out of the way. It means you need to turn off the TV or close up your book or put your phone away, and you need to sit and have a talk. And that's what God's calling us to. On those times when there's something serious, when there's something really exciting, when there's something important that needs to be discussed with Him. And this is hard to do. You know, it was hard for Jesus to do this. Do you ever think about that? You say, well, Jesus was praying with God all the time. Yes, He was. But do you ever notice when you read through the Gospels, it says that Jesus got up while it was dark and went out to pray? Why did He do that? Because as soon as everybody got up, they were all around Him. They were all there asking Him questions, asking Him for doing something, for healing, for whatever it was. So even Jesus had to find that time. And He knew it was important. So whether you pick that time first thing in the morning, whether you pick that time the last thing before you go to bed at night when everyone else is asleep, whether you do it on your lunch hour, your drive to work or school or the bank, whatever it is, it's important for you to take that time and say, God, this is our time. This is our time to be together. I have some things that we really need to talk about. I'm struggling with this, or I've got the most exciting news, or this is coming up. Whatever that is, we need to be able to take that time and spend it with God. And we need to be intentional about doing that. We need to find that part of the day that works. And I guarantee you, whatever part of the day you choose, the evil one will try to poke his nose in there. He'll try to mess up your time with God. And so it's important that we say, no, this is my time with God. I will spend my time with him. I will not let other things get in the way. That's easier said than done, but it's what we need to do. And Paul tells us here to pray in the Spirit. Think about your prayer time. When you pray, what are you praying for? Jesus chastised the Jewish leaders because they wanted to be noticed when they were praying. They would go out at the hour of prayer during the day, and then they would stand out in the streets where everyone would see them so that they could be seen praying. Were they praying to God, or were they just trying to get seen? And you go, they were probably really not addressing God very much at all. Because Jesus says, you should go in your closet and pray. You should go hide away where nobody will interrupt you and nobody will know what you're doing, because it's not about them. It's about you and God. And so we need to do that same thing. We need to not be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees who were there just to be seen for what they did. But rather, we need to be saying, God, this is our time together. This is my time to be with you, to talk to you, and to listen to what you have to say to me. And we need to set that time aside. So maybe when you're praying, you might be thinking, I hope everyone sees me. I hope everyone hears what I have to say, because then they'll think I'm a really good prayer. But don't you really care what God has to say? What God thinks? That's really what we ought to be focused on. You know, in James chapter 4, verse 2 to 3, I'm going to go there if I have, here it is. I want you to listen to what James says. He starts out with verse 1. He says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have. So you murder, you covet. And you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. James is really warning us harshly there, I think. You know, I love James because he's direct, he's right, he tells you. But I hate James because he's direct and he's right there in your face about it, right? James doesn't mince words. He says, look, you don't have what you ask for because you're asking for the wrong reasons. You're not praying to God in the Spirit looking for what God wants. You're looking for your own selfish desire. You think that God is a genie in the bottle, that if you just rub it on the side, you'll get something. You think that if you go to God and you pray with the right words or in the right order or in the right way, that God will somehow be obligated to give to you. I was listening to a guy a few weeks ago, and he made this comment. He said, God is under no obligation to give you the whims of your desire. No matter what you do. Remember, Isaiah tells us that our best works, our best things are but dirty rags. So we have nothing to bring before God and say, here, God, here are my dirty rags. Now you owe me something? How foolish we would be. And James says, you don't understand. We need to be praying for what God wants. And that's why Paul says we need to be praying in the Spirit. If we're going out to war, we're putting on his armor, our prayer needs to be that God's will is done. We need to be praying in the Spirit about what he wants. The Holy Spirit is in us. Remember, the gift of God comes when we accept Christ as our Savior of what? The Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He is within each one of us. Therefore, he can be there to guide our prayers, to lead us, to show us the way. That's his job. Remember, Jesus said, it would be a shame if I stayed here with you, but instead I'm going to go back to the Father and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit because He will be your guide. He will be with you. And that's the purpose there. And so Paul tells us we need to be praying in the Spirit. This doesn't mean that it's wrong to pray for yourself or for your own things. We're supposed to bring everything to God. But it does mean to think about the way you pray, even when we pray for the things of ourselves. I pray for the things in my life going on. Well, am I praying for what I want, or am I praying for what God wants to take place in those situations? There's a difference there, and we need to be focused on that, that we're praying for what God is looking for. James tells us not to be deceived, thinking that by praying to God in some certain way or using some certain words, God is going to give us what we ask for. But because the Holy Spirit is in us, we can actually turn to God and allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. And then Paul goes further and he tells us something else. He says to stay alert with all perseverance. He's telling us that we should not get lazy or get caught not paying attention. The Israelites were guilty of this, right? They got lazy in the way they lived. They got lazy in their relationship to God. And because of it, they got caught unaware. We shouldn't get caught unaware because we shouldn't get lazy in that. And I know it's easy for us to become lazy. It's easy for us to say, whew, got that out of the way, right? Especially if the only time we're praying with God is once a day or at that time or whatever it is. If you say, this is the time I'm going to pray for God, and then you sit down and pray with Him, what's the attitude that comes at the end of that? Whew, done with that. Check that box. Now I can move on to the rest of my life, right? But if I'm praying with God continuously, unceasingly about all things, then that prayer life never ends. That never comes to an end. And guess what? It's harder to be lazy about it if I'm always in the midst of it. We tend to pray when in a way that's kind of driven by our own desires. But one of the things that we need to think about is we serve the Almighty God, the Creator of all things. Therefore, there is nothing too big to pray to God about. What are you going to pray to Him? You're going to say, God, I really need this. And He goes, oh my gosh, I can't do that. Of course not. God can do anything. Remember in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, Jesus says that with God, all things are possible. Not some things, not a few of the little things, not one thing a day, and then you got to come back tomorrow. I tried to get something from the IRS this week, and on their website it says, you're only allowed to do this once per day. Imagine if God had that. Well, I don't know, Rick, you've prayed to me once this morning. Isn't that enough for one day? Right? Now, God may get tired of listening to me. That's a different story. But the fact is, God is so big, He can do the big things. Why don't we pray for the big things? Why don't we pray for the impossible? You know what happens when we pray for the impossible and then God does it? We have only one person to give credit to, God. Because if we pray for the things we can't do and then He does them, He gets all the credit. He's also never uninterested in all of our little things. In Matthew 10:31, Jesus tells us a great story. He says, you know, we sell a sparrow for 2 pennies. And He says, and there isn't a feather that falls off of a sparrow's back, but God knows about it. And then He finishes with this great sound. I want to get a t-shirt and put this on it. I am worth more than many sparrows. What a great statement. Jesus says there isn't anything that happens that God doesn't know about it. And you, you're worth more than many sparrows. You're worth so much more to God. If he knows everything that happens there, does he not want to know everything that happens in your life? Of course he does. So we need to pray about the really big things, the things we can't deal with, and then we need to realize that God still cares about whether the people are going to laugh at you because you got a mustard stain on your shirt. We need to know that God cares about the little things that take place in our lives, the things that seem insignificant. He still wants to know about them. We tend to pray also in a limited way. We tend to pray for the things that we see. And that's good. I see all of you. I know all of you. So we can pray about each other. But do you pray for everyone else? When we pray that way, you know what we're kind of saying? These are the only Christians in the world. I guarantee you that this morning in Ukraine, there are believers who need your prayers. I guarantee you that in the Middle East, there are believers who really need your prayers. There are people in Asia who really need your prayers. And you know what? You don't know any of them. You haven't met them yet. You're going to meet them one day. And wouldn't it be great to come up to them in heaven and say, oh, I was praying for you. And they'll go, I didn't know that. No, I didn't know it either. But you're here, and I was praying for that area, so I must have been praying for you. Wouldn't that be great? Well, how do we do that? Because we say God's people are everywhere around the globe. We need to be praying for all of them, whether we know them or not. We should not preclude the things that we don't know or see out of our prayers. But instead, we should include everything in our prayers. We have family members in every continent, in almost every country, so we should remember them all in our prayers. Do you notice something here as we've gone through this? If we're praying for all of our family members and the things in this church and the really big things and the really small things, and we're praying without ceasing, it's going to be really hard to go through a day without praying, isn't it? But it's also going to be really easy to spend your whole day with your best friend. You know, we're living in the end times. We have been since Jesus went back up to heaven. We're living in the end times. You know, we were talking about it Tuesday night, and we were saying, I would bet you that if you had gone up to Peter or John or one of the other apostles and said, when is Jesus coming back? And they would have said, probably by 4:00. I think their attitude was, he was imminently coming. They were so certain that he was coming, they weren't willing to wait. Well, we've become lazy because it's been a couple thousand years. And we're beginning to say, I wonder if he's still coming. But God says, I'm not slow like you think of slow. I'm patient, waiting for everyone that all might come to me, right? We need to look at that and say, if we're in the end times, and we are, then we need every day to be looking to God, to be in prayer with him. We need to be praying for all of the saints and all the things that God wants to see happen. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, we're told that Jesus lives forever and he makes intercession on our behalf. And in Romans 8, 26, Paul says that when we pray and we don't know exactly what to pray, ever been there? God, I don't know what to tell you. This is going on. I have no idea how to deal with this. But I know that you do, and the Holy Spirit makes intercession to God for us. That means that Jesus is making intercession for us, and the Holy Spirit is making intercession for us. How can God possibly not be willing to give us what we need, what's best for us? Not what we want, but what's best for us, what we need. Because God loves us and he wants to do what's best for us. Prayer is what keeps us in that close relationship with God. God is the source of that power. And it's God's armor that we wear. And it's for His glory that we fight. I love that verse from the song that we sang. When I fight, I'll fight on my knees. Why? Because when I'm putting His armor on, I need to be in prayer with Him. I need to stay close contact to the power source, to the strength that God has for me. The Westminster Larger Catechism says, what is the chief and highest end of man? Man's chief and highest end is to glorify God and fully enjoy Him forever. How awesome is our God? I hope that as we've gone through the elements of the armor and that we've discussed this concept of prayer and being with God, that you'll be encouraged every day to wake up and put on the whole armor of God and prepare for battle. We can be completely successful if we're diligent. But you know what? Even when we fail, even when we stumble and we make a mistake, get up the next morning, put on the armor, get back in the fight. Glorify God. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this day. I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the men who You sent to write. I thank You that Your word was given to us so that we would know about You, so that we would understand Your character, so that we would be able to bring glory and honor to You, not by ourselves, but by the things that You do through us. Father, as we're in Your word and as we go out into the world this week, I pray that You will give us the boldness to share the good news with those who are in the world. For those who are in the world are lost without You, and they need Jesus. And Father, we have that good news that they can have Jesus, that they can have salvation, that they too can be children of Yours. We pray, Father, that You'll give us that desire and that boldness to go into the world and to share that good news. And as we are about Your work every day, Father, help us to put on all the pieces of the armor. Help us to carry with us everything that we need so that we can be well prepared to fight the battle and bring glory to You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.